It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself today, Rocco?
Oh, not bad, John. Not bad. Can't complain, all things considered, in these weird, unprecedented times. And I wanted to start, you know, speaking of those weird, unprecedented times, I wanted to start with some news that emerged on Wednesday afternoon, right around noon. Cody Parkey, Jack Conklin, Charlie Hewlett, the long snapper, all placed on the COVID-19/reserve list. So it doesn't necessarily mean they tested positive, but they are placed on that list. And Miles Garrett also at home sick, although I know you were saying it doesn't mean he has COVID or anything, just taking precautions because he's feeling under the weather. What can you share with us regarding this?
Yeah, well, as far as Miles is concerned, this kind of seems like it was a few weeks back when Odell just, out of a great deal of precaution, elected not to go to the facility because he was feeling a little under the weather, and that's what it turned out to be. So that's the hope with Miles. But, yes, the Browns announcing that those three guys added to the list. Now, already a week ago on Friday, we saw, well, let's just say 5 days ago, we saw offensive lineman Chris Hubbard. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Then Monday, 2 days ago, it was the 3 days ago, it was Andy Janovich, the fullback. His name was added to the list, and the team confirmed that a player had tested positive. So known positive results were those two aforementioned guys. Now, the three that were named on Wednesday afternoon right now, we're not sure of their status. We are assuming that they will not be available to the Browns. Kendall Lamb, we will assume, will play right tackle in Jack Conklin's place. As far as a kicker, they do have a kicker with the team, so they could most likely handle that in-house. And this is what's been going on in the COVID-19 world, is that you do have an opportunity to have specialty people that are kind of available to you in that regard. And he also said that Charlie Hewlett, being the long snapper, that being kind of a unique skill set, he said there are some guys on the roster that they believe can handle that. I certainly will know more as the week goes on. He mentioned Mack Wilson's name. And again, I don't know to what extent the skill level is there, because, you know, people literally carve out careers just being long snappers.
Yep.
It's just not something that you say, all right, yeah, I think I can do that. Rocco, can you long? Sure, I can long snap. And the next thing you know, the ball's sailing over somebody's head and a coach is getting fired. So, you know, this is kind of weird. But again, this is 2020, and this is the deck of cards that have been thrown out on the table. See how you play them.
Yeah, some tough positions that they'll have to probably most likely find replacements for on Sunday. So we can circle back around to the Eagles game and what that will look like here in a little bit. Something that the Browns may have to face again in this Eagles game, though, is some inclement weather. And that's something they've had to deal with against the Raiders, against the Texans. You split those games going 1-1. Again, could be an issue this week. Is that favor the Browns? Does that hurt them? How do you see things there?
Well, they are outstanding running the football, so I think going into this game, I would say advantage Browns. And that's what, you know, Stefanski was really good at last week. Yeah, he knew it was going to, there was a potential for wind potential for something falling from the skies along with that wind on Sunday. So he adjusted his game plan as the week wore on. Thursday, Friday, he's very much attuned to the possibilities, as was, let's say, Phil Dawson when he kicked for the Browns. You know how much he went into the whole physics of the weather and the science of the weather and what that end of the dog pound's going to do to affect the football. Same thing for Stefanski, and he embraced it. You know, he said he realized that they're not going to be throwing the football. In fact, in warm-ups, they were saying there were times where you couldn't predict the wind. I watched it, too, from the press box. While guys were warming up, I would see Baker throw a routine pass, and then I'd see him throw a ball, and you go, what just happened? You know, so you imagine you're the head coach, you're wondering, can we really count on throwing the football in these types of instances? So what you saw Sunday was 2-1, two runs to every pass that they threw, basically, And it was a good week to bring back Teller, and obviously a great week to bring back Nick Chubb. You know, what he did in some ways was kind of like what Bill Belichick did last Sunday night to beat the Ravens. And who knows, he may have had that same tactic to beat the Ravens without sleet and rain coming down there at the stadium on Sunday night. But he felt that the best way to beat this team was to run the football, and that's exactly what Kevin and the Browns did, to great results.
What do you think of Kevin Stefanski on the year so far? Do you see growth there? Is he checking those boxes that you'd like to see a first-year head coach hit at this point? How do you evaluate him?
You know, I think this guy's had everything thrown his way, Rocco, and he just seems really super calm. You know, he's like the golfer, hits his tee shot into the bunker. You know, I'd be snapping my club over my knees, throwing it against the tree, and he just calmly walks up, settles his feet into the sand, and hits out of the sand. And that's what Stefanski's had with COVID-related things, with injuries, and losing Chubb for a while, losing Teller. And each and every week, he just seems to make the moves that make you say that this guy knows what he's doing as a head football coach. He managed the game on Sunday. They looked exceptionally professional, and the turnovers were nothing. The penalties were not much that would negate what they had going on in the football game. He changed things up even schematically. He had Baker in the pistol on a few plays, which gives Baker a few more options. He doesn't have to turn his back to the defense as much when he's throwing. Used a formation with, you know, two tight ends, three wide receivers. What's going on here? All to kind of put ammunition, not just for that Sunday, but for down the road, have other people thinking about what he's going to do. Another thing he did on Sunday was he absolutely tricked Romeo into taking a timeout there. And so when he had Baker, you know, frantically calling out a play call at the line of scrimmage, making it look like they were going to go for it on fourth down, when in reality, you know, Romeo had to take the timeout, which was one less. And so that made that final situation after the long run by Chubb a situation where all you had to do was kneel down a couple of times and the game's over. So he's checking all the boxes for me. And I've been very impressed so far with what he's done, Rocco.
Well, he's certainly impressed me as well, John. And I think another thing he has going for him is winning these close ball games. You sent me a nice stat before we started recording here.
Yeah.
Browns 2-0 in games decided by a touchdown or less. John, they were just 1-4 last year in those types of games. I mean, that I think shows the difference right there with the Kevin Stefanski coach team versus, you know, anybody else the Browns have had at the helm the last couple of years. He's winning those close ball games, and I think that is really what helps you get over that hump as a team.
I think it does. And I think, you know, when you look at Stefanski on the sidelines, he did show a little emotion at one time, but for the most part, you know, you watch that duck paddling away on a pond, and you see how graceful he looks above. But then when you look below the surface, and those webbed feet are just going like crazy. And that's kind of how things are with Kevin Stefanski. Always looks cool. And I think that's translated to how much more businesslike and his players happen to play. I mean, we're only 3 years away, Rocco, from when this team was 0-6 in games decided by a touchdown or less. So thank heavens for this guy, what he's done so far.
John Talich, our guest here on our Budweiser From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. John, quickly here, I wanted to touch on the defense. Miles Garrett, we talked about him a little earlier, missing practice on Wednesday. If he's good to go on Sunday, I mean, he's likely to add to this Defensive Player of the Year campaign, right? The Eagles not very good in pass protection. Should be a field day for Miles Garrett.
It really should, and it's going to be the perfect remedy for the Browns' defense as well, because the Eagles come into this game, they have a lot of third and longs. And so I would imagine we could see more of the same this Sunday. So when you've got a third and long, you know that's certainly tailor-made for Garrett. Couple quick stats here, not to get too stat-y, but Garrett is the first guy in history to have 9 sacks or more in the first 9 games of a season for 3 straight seasons.
Wow.
That's consistency, and that's where you will sit back now and predict that when all is said and done, provided he's healthy for his career, he could go down as the greatest defensive player the Browns have ever had.
Wow, that's incredible. And I don't think you'll find too many arguments regarding that statement with Miles being one of the best defenders, if not the best in Browns history. I mean, he is just a tremendous talent. I also wanted to ask you about Ronnie Harrison. I know that secondary people have been critical this year, certainly. Mm-hmm. But Ronnie Harrison, it feels like he's really starting to come into his own.
I think he is, and I think one factor that helped the Browns' defense on Sunday, giving up just the 7 points, was obviously because of the weather. The opposition couldn't really get into situations where you'd need, you know, like say three corners playing in the game. So Ronnie out there playing a ton of snaps. Ronnie was in the slot at times. Ronnie was up near the line of scrimmage. Ronnie was back there patrolling at his safety position. And he's been a real strong presence to the team. Carl Joseph not really seeing time, and Ronnie Harrison has kind of seized the mantle of the playing time in that regard. So he has been really impressive. I think it was real early in his short career here as a Brown that we saw his ability to kind of feel the game and make the right play when it was needed, when he had a pick six in either the first or second game that he was playing for the Browns.
Yeah, he's been a bright spot in that secondary, no question about it. John, we can close on this. How do you evaluate the Eagles this year in that underwhelming NFC East, to say the least? And how did the Brown and Orange get a win on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you what, Carson Wentz has regressed. And a lot of people would say, let's go back to right after they won the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl, the offense was designed and run by Frank Reich. You know, of course, Frank is the head coach of the Colts, and a lot of people say that they lost a lot of their flair, their cohesiveness when they lost Frank Reich out of that organization. And now what you've had is, you know, that franchise has just played average football since they won the Super Bowl. So they're kind of in one of those modes. I know they're in the thick of a hunt for a divisional crown because how bad that division is, but they're just not really playing very good football. And Carson leading the league, I believe, in interceptions, and just not seeming to be, you know, the guy that a lot of people thought was going to be one of the transcendent talents in the league. I think they need to change who's ever designing their offense, and they need a new way to look at things, because I don't think you could just out and out say that Carson Wentz all of a sudden is horrific. I think a lot of it has to do with what kind of a design this offense has and its predictability. Sometimes guys just try to get you know, instead of just running the football, they try to get too cute. And maybe that's one of the instances that's happening there in Philadelphia with, you know, Peterson just trying to just show that, wow, it might call for just running the football and being effective in that regard. But then he throws a couple of passes into the mix, ill-advised, and bad results sometimes happen.
Yeah, it's been baffling, with what's going on in Philadelphia. You know, I think you're right about Carson Wentz. I don't think he's really, you know, completely at fault here. I think there's a lot of other elements at play, but, you know, hopefully the Browns can take advantage of some of that poor play calling on Sunday. Hopefully Myles Garrett can get some penetration and put Wentz on his rear end a couple of times. John, thank you for taking a couple minutes here for our From the Sidelines. I appreciate the time. Hoping for a Brown and Orange winner on Sunday. We'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot, Rocco.